This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Now, our next story of the day actually comes from Dr. Wan Aziza, and she has said that only 19% apparently of registered nannies have passed the Permata test.
She also made the point about how important it is to have good childcare at an early age, because that's such an important time in early childhood development. And so the fact that it's less than 19, just under 19%, I don't know, I found it a little bit frightening, disturbing.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah, actually, when you look at the numbers, so they're saying that population of children 0 to 4 stands at 2.3 million. So just if we assume that 50% of those need to be in nurseries, they need 38,333 nurseries to support them. There are only 4,302 registered nurseries at this point. So I think the supply just, you know, doesn't in any way support the demand.
Did any of you, I mean, did you have nannies growing up? I'm just thinking about my own experience having, you know, being sent to a daycare, and it was terrible. My parents only realized that I was sort of borderline abused, yeah, when I was older. So, yeah, I mean, maybe, again, not the most heartening story to share on air, but it is something that came to mind when I was reading about this.
Well, I think I was really lucky. I had a nanny who stayed with us, and she was from Taiping, very nice lady, and she stayed with us for many, many years, you know, with my sister when she was born, my brother when he was born as well. She wasn't trained in any way to take care of children, but she was absolutely wonderful for us. You know, she cooked the meals, and I felt that she took good care of us.
Yeah, it feels like, I mean there is that slight disconnect, right? Because when people tell these stories of their own, I guess, past, and they say, oh, well, you know, she wasn't really trained and doesn't have any special training, but yet, you know, we grew up fine.
Yeah, yeah.
Normally, the training is the experience. People come saying, I have 20 years, I've raised, you know, 6 children, and now here I am.
But also, it feels like the demands of parents for their children are a lot more these days. They expect so much more from their nannies, right? They want them to not just babysit, but teach them.
And speak French.
Yeah. So I want my child to be able to speak 20 languages by the time he or she is in kindergarten, that sort of thing.
Yes. Having said that, though, I don't think that that's what this is about. I think this is just about sort of a standardized level of care. And the fact that even within the studio, we've had such wildly differing experiences in childcare, I think that says something.
And yes, and this standardized level of care is important from a legal perspective as well. I mean, when you have these processes in place, if anything goes wrong, then there is recourse, right?
There is recourse, but I think we also need to ask the question, why? Why is it the take-up rate is so low?
Right. I guess the why the take-up rate is so low, I mean, is it a lack of information? Is it cost? Is it just a tedious training process? I mean, all of these needs to be addressed. After this, we're going to be speaking to Nursheila Abdullah. She's the president of the Association of Registered Childcare Providers Malaysia, and she's going to walk us through the, I guess, standards of expected care. And that's coming your way after these messages on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Work outfits are meant to make you not only look good, but feel good too. Stand out from the crowd with office wear from Metro Jaya. Get your office wear essentials during the Metro Jaya August promotion. From dapper suits to statement shoes, accessories, and even business bags. MJ cardholders enjoy more with super savings and double the points. Find out more on Metro Jaya's Facebook page, Metro Jaya MY. Everything for the working professional.
COPD is a lung disease that most commonly affects smokers. It can get progressively worse and affect your quality of life. You can find out how to manage the symptoms of COPD with Dr. Goh Kee Sun, consultant respiratory physician from Ara Damansara Medical Centre. All you have to do is tune into Health and Living on Tuesday, 14th of August at 4 p.m.
BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's me again, Caroline Uma, and Lynn with you on the Evening Edition.
You never left.
Yeah. I never left. We're talking about childcare, in particular, I guess this frightening statistic from our Deputy Prime Minister that only 19% of registered nannies have passed, pre-required Permata test, right? Mm-hmm. It's a test for all nannies and childcare professionals. It kind of gives them an absolute basic standard of operating SOPs. We have on the line line Nur Sheila Abdullah, President of the Association of Registered Childcare Providers Malaysia. Sheila, thank you so much for joining us on the program. Now, can you walk us through what the standards would be, the standards of expected care from a childcare provider in Malaysia?
Okay, we will look at it this way, because those days we used to have extended families, and then now a lot of women, they are going into the workforce. Therefore, they need to have an alternative place where they can send their children. Now, that is why we have this Child Care Act 1984, which has given us the requirement that any child care centre and child care providers must follow the requirement as it is in the Act itself.
So let's get down to that. What would be some of those requirements under the Act?
Okay, basically, when you decided to open a centre, so the first thing that they have to do is they have to comply with all the three agencies, which is BOMBA, PBT, and also Kesihatan. And last, JKM will come and see, will look into those requirements. Meaning, if you do it with the health department, you have to see what kind of menu you got to provide and all that. All right. With BOMBA, you have to see whether the house is suitable entry or, and with PBT, you have to see, because you are choosing that area, the area, and then let's say you are doing it into a house, then most the cost on utility will be changed into the commercialized kind of thing, because a lot of people think that childcare center is a business. Yes, it is a business because there is a transaction going on, but we have to know also, this is a service that we are providing for mothers who's going into workforce. And parents has to know that this center has been registered with the welfare department. Okay? Now, going back to the personnel itself, the childcare providers at least should go for the minimum basic childcare course, which is now called Kursus Asuhan Didikan Awal Kanak-Kanak, KAP. They must comply to this, because under the Act, it says, if you work within a year, you should attend this course to qualify yourself as registered childcare provider.
Okay, well, I guess the question here, or rather the disconnect for me, right? Why are there so many childcare providers who are registered with the welfare department and yet they've not passed the mandatory childcare courses? Are there barriers to entry?
Okay, there is no barriers actually, because as long as you can read and write, if you think that this is the career that you take in, then you have to comply with the Act itself. You see, now the problem raises two. One, there are people looking after the children from the home, and parents choose to send them because one, may be near to the house. Two, maybe it is cheaper than the registered center. Three, maybe their relative or what, and they find it that it is more easier to send to their neighbors. But again, like I said just now, most cases like death and all that comes from a unregistered center. Now, I'm going back to the Act. In the Act, it says very clearly, whoever works with the child below 4 years old, they must, within a year, attend KAP. Okay, a lot of operators and also childcare providers, their grievances is, they say this is very expensive. It is like 800 ringgit plus module is 900. But they forget, by having the certificate of KAP and you register yourself, you are certified as a registered childcare provider in Malaysia. Even if I have master's or degree, I don't have that qualification. That is only a certificate to say I have done my diploma in early childhood. But the recognition of being a registered childcare provider in Malaysia is not on that cert. But this cert says so. Plus, it's a profession now. It's no longer like nanny or babysitting, you know. We are no more like ayah or the bibi from Indonesia. We are somebody who qualified by the government.
So what's the solution here then? I mean, how do we get all childcare providers to take this mandatory course?
Because I think this is going back to attitude. If I want to be a doctor, I want to be the best doctor to provide services to the to my patients. This is the same. If you think that this is your career, please look up the career as a profession, a professional profession. At the end of the day, my argument here as to get an equality among our childcare provider, because we think doctors are important, nurses are important, rubbish collectors are important, because they are equally important at their role. But we feel that childcare providers are more important because these are the childcare providers who is nurturing the future leaders. So they have to ask themselves, are they at the right profession? Do they think that they should go into this profession? Now, a lot of people think, or they come there, oh, I'm just attending KAP because I need the certificate to register my center. These kind of people, when they come and tell me, I say, sorry, this is not your forte. Because if you think that you're taking the certificate just to make sure your center is registered and you run as a business, then I think that is not right, okay?
So if not all childcare providers pass the mandatory test, whose responsibility is it then to ensure the safety of the child? Does it fall to the welfare department, or is it always going to be the parents themselves?
I will say all of us are responsible. I as childcare provider, I as operator, JKM officer as the enforcement body, the parents who make a choice for their children. But to me, anything comes for children, there is no compromise. I mean, yes, some parents, they might not able to provide. But at the same time, they can actually look at what kind of things that they should give to the children. If they send to a home childcare, they should always look at what kind the child, in what kind of environment the child is. If the house is so messed up, the table, the food table are not being closed, there is no, you know, the table is not clean, I wouldn't want to send with that kind of place, because my child will be growing up in a very messy place. And they also indirectly come back home, they just chuck the file, they will copy, because children will, we are the role model where the children will copy what we do. Same goes, how does the childcare provider talks to the children? How does she communicates with her own child, she communicates with her own spouse. If you shout, you scream and all that, this is not good for the children. So the parents also have to have some role. Yes, we all see why JKM did not register the center. If I want to take a license, a driving license, I have to go for my L license, right? This is the same concept. JPJ don't come to my house and give me the license. I will have to go through certain requirements. I register myself to JPJ. I pass. Then JPJ will give me the driving lesson.
Fair enough. But what about the issue of cost? I mean, there are parents who just can't afford to send their kids to certified, you know, registered childcare providers. What's the solution there?
Yes, we agree that parents who is below B40, most of them, they can't afford to send their children, all right? But at the same time, we are also proposing to the government to have more community-based childcare. Childcare centers, because if it is under community base and it is close to the community, which is PPR flats and all that, then it will help, because I think the government still would provide 180 ringgit, which is actually memang not enough to cover the cost, you see, but at least they would able to send the children because they get some subsidies. Now, going back to workplace centers, so we would like to see like how government has said that next year they want a lot of workplace to set up the childcare center, because the employers also should think that this is something they're giving back to the children, okay, as a CSR to the children, but through their employees. And they must know that if you provide that, you will get a very proactive employees, okay? Because, I mean, I'm speaking through my experiences. If they can't afford, let's say in factories, you cannot build a childcare center within the factory's environment, then you should work with registered childcare centers. You can subsidize through your workers, but you liaise with the registered childcare center, okay, these are from my company, there are 10 of them. Okay, A will get this much of subsidy. So they will pay directly to the childcare center, registered childcare center. Okay, so there are many ways to look into it, but we really need to sit down and let's make it black and white. Because at the end of the day, what we want, the child must be nurtured by a registered childcare providers. They should be at the registered childcare centers.
Here, here. Thank you, Sheila, for your perspective. That was Nur Sheila Abdullah, President of the Association of Registered Childcare Providers, Malaysia, on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.